Last week, Aaron kicked off our new sermon series called Let's Share. We're exploring the book of Romans this month. And as we do that, we're thinking about how Paul shared his story and the story of Jesus and how we are invited to do the same, to share the story of Jesus and to share our story. And Clara was so kind last week, one of our FaithWorks kids, to come up and share a little bit about her story of faith. And so I thought, motivated by her, we'd continue the couch this week and an opportunity for people to share their stories. And I thought, surely after Clara shared, everybody else would be ready. Who would like to come up with me today to share your faith story and just answer a couple questions that I have? All right, Mike, I think Mike's gonna come up today. I want everybody to know today that we set this one up in advance because I knew that not necessarily anyone would volunteer, although I saw a hand go up. I just want you to know, you all were ready for that question today. But truly, at the end of the month, my hope really is, and I know it's scary to be up here in front of a lot of people, but my hope is that everybody will be ready to share a little bit about your faith story. Mike, we're going to take a seat today. Mike, by the way, is Clara's dad. So Clara set a high bar for you, Mike. I'm sorry about that.
It's always tough to live up to that example, but I'm glad she is fearless.
So I'm so thankful, Mike, that you're here today. And I gave Mike a couple questions to think about. And you will find questions every week in the devotional guides. And if you didn't get one today or you didn't get one last week, we'll take care of that in a moment because we'd like you to have them as well. But one of the questions for this week, Mike, is where does your hope come from? And before you answer that, just a note, there aren't right or wrong answers to these questions this month. It's really just for you to understand your own life, your own story, your own relationship with Jesus. So, Mike, for you, where does your hope come from?
So my hope comes from just knowing that Jesus is there and he's there for me. And whenever I've encountered difficult situations, you know, painful times in my life, or when I've struggled in a relationship with a person, it's absolutely really hard to lose sight of that. But when I take the time to pause and to think and to come back to God, I can usually see how God has surrounded me with people who are there to help me through that painful situation, or how God may be using that relationship that I'm struggling with to help me be a better person or to know God more fully.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike. And another question for us all to think about today, and just curious how you would answer it. What do you want, as a parent, this is a great question for us to answer for our kids or for anybody in the world, any kids. What do you want your kids to know about Jesus?
I want Clara and Olivia to know Jesus' love and his fearlessness. And I want them to use that to build strength in their hearts, especially in the easy times when they can sort of solidify that within themselves, so that when those really tough and difficult times or those struggles with relationships come, because they will, and certainly they already have for them, that they have something that they can fall back on, and they can use the examples that they've learned about here in FaithWorks, showing how Jesus loves everybody, how he builds relationships, and uses those as an example for them to work through those challenges, to really love and embrace everybody. And I'm just super proud that Clara was able to get up and show some of that last week.
Yeah, awesome. Well, let's show our appreciation to Mike for...
Thanks.
...taking the brave step to share here today. And this is really it, right? I mean, we think about sharing faith, and it can be scary to think about coming up here. I get that. But I want us all just to picture... Are we ready when we're sitting next to somebody on an airplane or we're sitting on the couch in our living room and they say, man, how do you have hope? How do you survive the difficult times in your life? Are we ready to share? Are we ready to share our story? Today, in a moment, we're going to be looking at chapter 5 of Romans. So for those of you that like to follow along or read along, we're going to be looking kind of at specific things that Paul has to say there. You're welcome to find that in the Pew Bibles, if you want, or pull that up on your phone. If you did not receive one of the devotional guides as you came in today, or you didn't get one last week, if you just raise your hand, and our ushers are in the back, and they're going to bring some of those devotional guides around so that you so that you have them. We're actually going to be looking at a couple of the questions in there during the message today. So just put a hand up if you don't have a devotional guide, and they'll be bringing those to you. As they're doing that, I want to just invite you for a moment to imagine that somebody has had delivered to you at your home a ginormous shipment of the world's greatest chocolates. You had to imagine that if I put chocolate on the board, we were going to talk about that, right? So imagine that there's this ginormous shipment of chocolate. By the way, just quick aside, ginormous is a word. Spell check didn't highlight it, and I always figured I was just sort of like making that up or it was slang, but it is in Webster's Merriam Dictionary now, so you can use ginormous if you want to. Anyway, so you have this ginormous amount of chocolate delivered to your door, and now you get to decide, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to eat it all yourself? Or are you going to share it and bring a little bit more joy to your pastor? I mean, to all of your friends. Right? Because with chocolate, we can share joy. With chocolate, we can take our minds, at least for a little while, off of bad things. With chocolate, we can experience true bliss for at least a short period of time. Lots of joy in chocolate. Now, I understand that there are a handful of people who don't like chocolate in the world. If you do not like chocolate, just insert ice cream here. I don't know what you're going to do for a freezer, but imagine a whole shipment of ice cream and you get to share it. And if you don't like chocolate or ice cream, I'm sorry. We can talk after service if you want to share a little bit more. I guess you can insert your favorite food here and use that as the analogy. I once heard a speaker say that if all the world's problems, all of the world's tables of leaders had a buffet of ice cream and chocolate, the world would be a much happier place. I wonder sometimes. Now that you're basking and happy and glow in the thought of chocolate, or you're cursing me because I didn't bring any after talking about chocolate, we're going to talk about something today that is truly better than chocolate. Would you pray with me? Lord, may these words I speak today and all of our thoughts here today, may they ultimately be to your glory. And Lord, I just pray that you fill our hearts, each and every one of us here today and those that might be listening online, just fill our heart to overflowing with your love. And God, we pray that we might be so filled with your love in Jesus Christ that we depart from this place and this space and carry forth your word as a light to the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What if I told you that in just a few minutes with someone else, just a few minutes of time with someone else, you could impact their life for the good? Or if I told you that with just a few minutes with someone else, you could save a life? What if I told you that all you need to make that impact is a firm grasp of your own story and how Jesus is a part of your story? Let me invite you right now to turn to a neighbor and answer a question for me. What do you think people are longing for in the world today? And if that's hard to answer, you might think about it this way. What do you think people are seeking in their lives today? Or what do you think is missing from lives today? What do you think people are searching for? And if it's hard to think about somebody else, answer for yourself. What is something you're seeking, hoping for, wishing for, looking for in your life today? Take just a moment, turn to somebody next to you or in front of you or behind you. Make sure everybody has a conversation partner and just answer that question. Now, I promise I was not eavesdropping, but I wonder, and actually I hope even, that some of the things that I have had people share with me as a pastor and as a friend overlaps with some of what you just shared with each other. You see, I think there is a tremendous longing in the world today for acceptance, for feeling connected, for belonging. I think you can feel it if you're on social media and in posts and on online sharing. I also think that there's a great desire in our world today for civility and peace in the midst of the rancor that we hear about or in the midst of the rancor that we see. I think people have this sense, this desire. Why can't we all just get along? Why can't we all just love one another? I wonder if some of you didn't express what I hear from people, just a sense of like this desire, this longing for a sense of normalcy or calmness in life. And if you're like me, I will sometimes express this like, oh, if we can just get through these couple weeks and then when things calm down, I'm looking for that sense of normalcy. But if you're like me, that never actually comes, right? I think some of us long for a sense of peace in the hectic pace of life. I also encounter people, and maybe you do too, I also encounter people that I think just long to be happy. They'll say, I just want to be happy. I was happy once, and I can't find that. I just long to be happy again. Or sometimes people express it this way. They'll say, I just want my children to be happy. If I could give them anything in the world, I just want them to be happy. I have a sense that there are a lot of us who long, who deeply long for a way through the broken relationships. Or a way through beyond the struggles that we might be facing right now. Many of us long for just hope on the other side of the grief or whatever it is that's standing between us and that happiness or joy right now. Right at the heart, we long for lives with more hope and more peace and more joy and more love. And to that, there is good news. Paul has good news for us. Right? The book of Romans can be a little bit overwhelming. But at its heart, Paul wants to share this good news. And some of you, we encourage, and I hope many of you are reading along in Romans this month. There are daily readings. It's not too much to read, and if you pull up the Life Guide or if you get notifications on your app, on the Clay app, you can get the daily readings, and there's a question that helps you get at least a piece of the puzzle each day as Paul presents it. But if you're reading along, I just want to acknowledge now that there is layer upon layer in Paul, and there's a lot you won't understand, and that's okay. We all have, I think, times when we read Paul and we'll read a passage and we'll be like, what did Paul just say? And then we'll read it a second time and we still aren't sure what Paul is saying. But Paul has a lot to say. And it helps me to think about what we're taking from Paul this way. I think of Paul's letter to the Romans a little bit like an infomercial. Now, how many of you have seen an infomercial? Most people have seen an infomercial. Now, I'm not talking about the infomercials that sell absolute junk that you don't want, but sometimes infomercials actually have something that can be worthwhile. It's just the medium they have to sell it. And so this doesn't work all the time, but if you think of something like an infomercial that sells something worthwhile, right, and they're trying to get the word out about it, and they share what it is, and you're not quite sure you grasp what it'll do, or you're not quite sure it's for you, but then the infomercial guy or woman, but I don't know, I've got this picture of this guy in my head of infomercials, will say these words, but wait, there's more, right? And after the but wait, there's more, then they share, like, there's more free stuff that you're going to get out of this, right? You're going to get this and this, and then we're going to add on this, and there's, so it's a whole package that you're going to get. So this is Paul in Romans, bear with me for a minute, right? He begins by saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Aaron shared that this week. I am not I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is salvation that comes from God through Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed because I want everybody to know this good news. This is the heart of it all. But there's more. You see, because of this, you can be free of God's wrath and judgment. You can be free of the sins, of the struggles of your life. You can be free of the evil and the temptation in your life. Even if you've made past mistakes, even if your life is a mess right now, you can be free of that in Jesus. But there's more. You don't have to do anything to earn this. It's already been done. God has already sent Jesus to die for your sins. All you have to do is claim that love and allow the Holy Spirit's power to work in your life. That's it. It's free. It's yours. And then Paul goes on and says, but there's more. And that takes us to what he's saying today. And it's kind of a way to say, okay, so that's the foundation of it all. But let me tell you what this looks like in your life. Let me tell you about what this looks like right now. So we turn to Romans 5, and Paul says, therefore. So just for fun, now, whenever you read the Bible and you see Paul use the word therefore, just insert, but wait, there's more. It gives a whole different reading. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? The peace we long for. Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. There's the hope that we long for. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. There's the love that we long for. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only this is so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. We have been made right. We have been accepted in the love of Jesus. So what did Paul just say? Right, this is one of those passages. We can read it once or twice and go, wow, there's a whole lot of words there. What exactly do they mean? And reflect on them for just a minute. I want to invite you to think of water. Anybody here grow up afraid of the water? Or know somebody that's afraid of the water? Or your kids have been afraid of the water? Right? There's a fear that some people have of the water. My mom and dad are actually among them. They probably won't like that I said that online to everybody in the world. But some people are just afraid of the water. And the fear is, if you ask somebody who's afraid of the water, right, they're afraid they're going to sink. They're afraid they're gonna be weighted down and they're going to drown in the water and they won't be able to breathe. Now imagine for a moment that everybody just knew that they could swim. They knew that they were able to swim. They had the gift of swimming. They didn't need to worry about drowning. Now, there wasn't any promise the water might be choppy. They don't know how far they're going to have to swim, but they know that if they'll just jump into the water, they'll be able to swim. They'll be able to float. It's a gift that's already been given. They don't have to They don't have to worry about it. Hold that image in your mind this morning, and we're going to use it to help us think about what Paul is saying about how we face life. Right? So, in our lives, right, there are these things that we hope for. We hope for peace, and we hope for joy, and we hope for love, and we just want to have hope. Right? Those are the things we see above the waterline. But sometimes in our life we find ourselves drowning. Now Paul says this, that even when you were sinful, even before you knew God or knew Jesus, you were weighted down by sin. But even before you knew Jesus, Jesus died to break the power of that sin in your life. Even before you knew who Jesus was, we sometimes in the church use this fancy term, it's called prevenient grace. God's love before you even knew that God loved you, God sent Jesus to die for our sins. Before you even knew you were drowning, God sent Jesus to pull you up to air above the waterline. God gave you the gift to float. And then Paul says, God has promised that no matter what, eventually we will be in paradise, in heaven, in the world to come with Jesus, held in his love. That nothing can stand in the way of that promise. That's the future hope that we look forward to. But some of you have heard me say this before, paraphrase Frederick Buechner, and Adam Hamilton, the pastor in Kansas City, shares this a lot, that the worst thing is never the last thing. That's the great promise of our faith. The worst thing is never the last thing. The suffering we may be going through, the grief we may feel now, it's not the last thing. God's love, God setting everything right, is the last thing. That's the future hope that we get to look forward to because we know Jesus. So what about now? Right? If the past hope is that we've already been freed from our sins, and the future hope is that someday we're gonna be able to walk on water with Jesus, that Jesus will set all things right. There is nothing to be afraid of. What about right now? Because if we think about our lives right now, we think about those things that we just listed that we're longing for. I will get back to that page in a moment. We realize that there's still things, right, that are pulling us below the waterline. They're the temptations, the sins that kind of keep pulling us back, the things we don't want to do, but we find ourselves doing that get in the way of the love and the hope and the peace that we want in our lives. There are broken relationships, right, that continue to feel like they're pulling us down and weighting us down. There's grief and pain. There's illness. There are all these things that we suffer in our lives that can feel like they're pulling us back under the water again. So what about now? Well, Paul says that even though we feel like our heads are under the water, that knowing the past act of God that frees us from all these things, and knowing the future promise that God will set all things right, we put our hope in the fact that Jesus is always reaching out to us, always reaching out to pull us above the water again. right? We can trust that Jesus is always there. And then Paul, he says this interesting thing. He says, we can find glory in our suffering. Well, I don't know about you, but when I'm suffering, glory is not the first word that comes to mind, right? But what Paul means is that when we are suffering, if we put our trust in Christ, if we hold on to this promise, what we'll find, if we wait on the Lord's deliverance, if we hold on to that promise, we'll find that God delivers us. We don't necessarily know what that deliverance is going to look like, but every time that happens, every time that cycle occurs, when the suffering, the grief, the difficult time, the broken relationship doesn't define our lives, and God's love does define our lives, we get stronger. Every time we persevere through what's difficult, we have more hope, more knowledge of God. And the Holy Spirit, what Paul says of the Holy Spirit, it's we'll just keep our hands out. The Holy Spirit will keep filling them with enough love and enough hope in God that at all times we can know that Jesus is reaching out when we can't see our way above the waterline in our lives. Paul says, this can be your story. Your story. God saving you. Jesus loving you. The Holy Spirit giving you hope. Paul knows very well that this story isn't one that's free of suffering or struggle. It's not, know Jesus and all the struggling is going to go away and your life is going to just be rosy and peachy all the time. No, Paul says, there will be struggles ahead, but this can be your story. God saving you, Jesus loving you, the Holy Spirit giving you hope. And if you'll hang on to that story, your story will be defined by peace and love, all those things that you long for. Joy. But there's more. Something Paul doesn't want us to miss. Doesn't want those who are reading or hearing his letter, he doesn't want them to miss. Does anybody know what it was? It's the very beginning and the very ending of what he said. Paul invites followers of Jesus to boast in the hope of the Lord. Now, it's really interesting. He says it right at the beginning and right at the end of this passage. And this passage is sort of at a transition point. Paul is about to tell the church in Rome all the glory of what it means to follow Jesus and to know Jesus in your life. He's about to dump it all out. And so there's this transition point that we hear from today. And anchoring that transition point, at the beginning and the end, he goes, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to boast about it. And he tells the church in other places, he says, don't boast. Don't boast that you're better than everybody else. Don't boast that you know Jesus and others don't. That's not what I want you to boast. I want you to boast about what Jesus has done for you. I want you to boast about the hope that you have in Jesus. I want you to boast about the glory that you find in what God has done and is doing in your life through Jesus. See, Paul has more to say. It's this. This can be your story to share. God saving, Jesus loving, the Holy Spirit giving hope. This is your story to share. On Friday evening, I officiated the funeral, led the funeral service, memorial service for Pat Trost. Pat was a member here at Clay. A number of people knew her as part of the church. She had also worked for a long time at Notre Dame. A lot of people knew her from Notre Dame. And I had another story for this morning, and when I heard Pat's grandson read letters and memories, I was just sort of overcome with this. This is Paul's message. This is who Paul wants us to be. Pat's grandson read these letters and memories of a number of family members and friends, and Pat was this just beautiful smile, the kind of person who was always in encouraging. She was deeply faithful. But as I heard the grandson share, two things really stood out. One was Pat was a prayer warrior. And not just a prayer warrior, but the kind of prayer warrior that everybody knew she was a prayer warrior, and everybody knew about her faith and how she was willing to pray for you. I love this. Pat actually had 5 children, and each of her children had a day of the week, Monday through Friday. And on that day, she would pray for that child. And throughout her life, she would call them once they had left the house. She'd call them on their day and visit with them and get to know what was going on in their life so she could tailor her prayers to God for the things that were going on in their life and on their behalf. You see, it wasn't just that she prayed. There are lots of prayer warriors. It was that she prayed in such a way, living her faith out loud, that others knew about her faith in Jesus and took hope that she was praying for you. But the second thing that I heard that moved me was a letter that was read from a friend of Pat's. And this is a paraphrase of the letter, but it said something like this. What do you say about someone who literally saved your life? The letter said, I was ready to give up. I even had all the plans in place. And then I met Pat. And Pat shared with me her faith in Jesus. And she shared with me her hope. And in that, God turned my life around. What if I told you that in just a few minutes of sharing with someone, you could dramatically impact a life for the good? What if I told you that by spending just a few minutes, God could even save a life? What if I told you that all you need to make an impact is a firm grasp of your own story and how Jesus is a part of it? I would invite you right now just put your hands out like this. If you would, put your hands out. And if it helps to close your eyes, you can do that. But I want you to imagine that the Holy Spirit is just pouring out into your hands a ginormous amount of love and peace and hope and joy in Jesus Christ. Just imagine God is pouring that in your hands so much you can't hold it all, so much that you're just grabbing it and putting it inside you so that you are filled with that joy and that peace that Christ offers. And then Jesus asks you this question, what will you do with it? Will you keep it all to yourself? Or will you share it? Is it worth a few minutes this week to reflect and to reflect on and know your answer to the question, who is Jesus? Is it worth a few minutes this week so that you're ready to share it, to reflect, where do you find your hope? Would it be worth it if you don't know me, Jesus would say, if you don't have a relationship, we need to schedule some time with the pastor or a church friend and learn more about who I am and the love that I have for you this week. This is our story to share. God saving, Jesus loving, the Holy Spirit giving hope. Let me encourage you this week to spend a little time with the devotional guide and get to know your story. Because with your story and how Jesus is a part of it, God can and will impact lives. Amen.